open our Bibles this morning, I'm going to show you in Scripture God's plan for us and purpose for us in terms of our finances and our giving and our offerings. And so this is going to be a sermon about money. And so before I begin preaching and really talking about this, and we have to actually take care of an item of business, let me just say this. If you happened just to happen in here, or maybe you come to church once a year, you know, and it happens to be on this particular Sunday, don't walk out here saying, well, you know, all that preacher ever does is talk about money, okay? Because we don't. We don't just talk about money. We talk about Jesus, all right? And our relationship to Him. And so we preach the gospel here. But, you know, part of our life is finances. And the church, which is a spiritual entity, I mean, we are the body of Christ, and that is a spiritual thing. But there are also physical needs that we have, you know. So we've got people that we pay, you know, like the pastor. We've got to pay for the electric bill, and we've got money that we need to help folks and to pay for literature and all those different types of things. And so this is a legitimate part. It's not something we talk about all the time. It's a real part of our church, but I don't get up here and beat you over the head about money or anything like that, because it's a very private thing. So I want you to understand that as we talk about money today, it's not something that we normally do. So don't think that all that preacher ever talks about is money, okay? I just felt like I had to say that. Now, today is our in-gathering day, and I'm going to talk to you about the offering and what that means. But let me tell you that as a church, you know, with these physical needs that I'm in, that I mentioned, and first of all, the tithes that we give to the church each year go to take care of these physical needs of the church. And last year, our church, the people in our church, gave together a little over $800,000. That's a lot of money. And this next year, we anticipate somewhere around there, maybe a little bit more, as God blesses or as He takes away, however that works, because that's His business. But God provides for the needs of this congregation through you, okay? And so what happens is we make sure that every penny is accounted for, and that everything that you give, and one of the things that I'm going to tell you today is you can be certain that the money that you give is handled not only wisely but in a godly way, and every penny is accounted for. And the way we do that is we have a group of people known as our finance team or our finance committee, and they are very godly individuals. And as a church, we have set them aside, or we have elected them to do this thing. And usually around August, and that's what happened this year, they begin to look at the finances of the church. And they look at how much we've been giving, how much we've been spending, and all those things, and looking at all those, and praying over all those things. And then they begin to think about 2014. And they meet, or they talk to the ministry leaders in our church, including our staff, including folks like Vacation Bible School directors and the choir leaders and all the different types of things. And we begin thinking about 2014 and how would God have us to use the resources that He gives us through our tithes and offerings. And of course, there's some things like the lights that we've got to take care of. And then there's other things that, we have more flexibility on, like, are we going to are we going to do Vacation Bible School this year? Or what about our senior adults? How are they going to meet and the things that they're going to do? And so all of those things are looked at. And then what this group of people does is they put together a budget. Just like you might sit down and put together a budget in your own home about how you're going to spend the money that you make, we do the same thing here. So a budget is put together. And then in our November business meeting, and this happened several weeks ago, and you might remember that I'm trying to be very clear about this. The business of the church is everybody's business. And so this is not something that we try to keep hidden, not something that we don't want you knowing about. In fact, we want everybody to know about it. And so at our November business meeting, we present the budget that has been put together for 2014, and we receive comment and questions and all those things. And people, and by the way, this it's been available for you to pick up for the last several weeks. and beginning back in November. And so our prayer is that everybody in the church looks at this and pays attention to this and prays over it. And then, after we've answered all the questions, and sometimes we have to go back and adjust things, but once we get it set where there is general agreement on, yes, we believe that this is how God is going to lead our church financially in 2014, and again, the budget is just a blueprint, but it helps us to know how to appropriate and spend the money that comes in through the tithes and offerings. In general agreement in November, then in December, we present it to the church for a vote. And that's the first thing we're going to do here this morning, okay? And so what's happened is you've had the opportunity to look at the budget and everything, and we want you today, it needs to be approved by the church, because we have the way we govern ourselves here in this church is through the congregation and through the people of God being moved by the Spirit of God, and we pray and we serve together, and then we make decisions together. So this morning, you're going to be asked, as members of the church, to vote on this budget. Yes, you believe this is how God is leading us, or no, you don't think this is the way God is leading us, or I'm not sure because I hadn't prayed about it. And you can mark that down if that's you, okay? So however that works out. But right now, and this is a very official action that we take, I'm going to recognize Lewis Doak, who is the chairman of our deacons this year, and he is also the moderator of our business. So we now, for just a few moments, are going to consider ourselves in business meeting, all right? And as you came in, it may very well be that you were handed one of those little blue slips. It's a ballot. If you did not receive one, would you raise your hand right now so that you might receive one? And we've got some ushers coming around that are going to help you. We want to make sure that every member of the church has the opportunity to vote, so you need one. And again, this is a very, very official action that we're taking. So we've got some hands over here, some hands over here. And while those are being passed out, Brother Lewis, would you lead us in this?
Good morning, First Baptist Church family. At this time, I'll be serving as your moderator for a special called business meeting. The budget for the next year was presented and discussed during the November regular business meeting. We are here today to vote. The ushers are now passing out the ballots to members of this church. If you don't have a ballot, please continue to raise your hand and a ballot will be given to you. Does every church member have a ballot now? There's a few right over here. At this time, we would like you to pull out your ballots and mark the ballot indicating your decision. If you'll do that now, please. If you've marked your ballot, you may fold them in half and pass them to the center aisle, please. Pass your ballots to the center aisle, please. Thank you. The ballots will be tallied and the results will be reported next Sunday. Ushers, if you have all the ballots, do we have all the ballots? Very good. Thank you, church family. This concludes the special called meeting.
Awesome. Now, if you still have one in your hand and you want to raise it up, you can. We still have a few out there. Okay. Awesome. Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal. It's a very big deal. Let me just tell you, this is a very big deal. And I'm going to explain that as we go along through the text. I want you to take your Bibles out this morning, open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And what I want to talk to you about is about the collection, or about our money, about the offerings that we take, or the tithes that we give, or this special offering that we're going to, or that we're receiving today for our mission in Gathering Day. And let me just begin by giving you a little background to the text, and we're going to look at the text, and then I'm going to tell you a couple of things about what I think God is teaching us or telling us. This book of 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul to the church there in Corinth. Now, Corinth was a city in Greece, and Paul had visited this city on his second missionary journey, ended up staying there about 18 months. And he was the first one, really, to come to Corinth with the gospel. He began to preach the gospel, and people started getting saved. And when people start getting saved, what happens is they gather themselves together in a body or in a church. And so the church formed right there in Corinth. Paul was the first pastor, and he discipled them and preached and witnessed and all of that for 18 months. And when he left, going on his missionary journeys, he left a vibrant, growing church there. He had appointed pastor and other elders and leaders in the church, spiritual leadership, and the church continued to grow. But like many other churches, the church at Corinth had some issues, had some problems, because a local church is just made up of people, and we're all sinners. And so there were certainly some sinners in that church, just like there are a few in this church as well. And what that does is it causes problems, because we have problems living together or doing what God says and all those type of things. And so Paul felt a pastoral responsibility to the church at Corinth. And what the book of 1 Corinthians is all about is the Apostle Paul in a pastoral role, writing back to his congregation, the church that he began, and talking to them about some of the issues that were going on in the church. And you can actually see this as you go through. They had a man living with his father's wife, evidently his stepmother, and Paul addressed that. There were some issues about spiritual gifts that was causing some problems in the church. He addressed that. Now when we get to the 16th chapter, he addresses the issue of the collection or the offerings, okay? And in addressing that, he really addresses us, and he teaches us some very important lessons about the collection. So let's read together, beginning in verse 1 of Romans 16. It says, now about the collection. See, he's answering a question now. They've evidently written him or asked him, or he knows there's an issue about it. So he says, now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of every week. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, then they will accompany me. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, I want you to note that this congregation in Corinth did exactly as we do or as we are doing today. There were a couple of issues here. There were the regular offerings that they gave, and then there was a special offering that they were taking, a mission offering that was going to go back to help the saints or the ministry back in the mother of all churches, and that was the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul is dealing with those issues here, and so we're going to deal with them right now, okay? So this is about the collection. About the collection. And there's two very, very important lessons or principles that Paul teaches us here about the collection. These are the things I want to share with you this morning. My prayer is that these would just sink into the heart and the very life of the church, each one of us. So here's the first one. Giving is an act of worship. Your giving, your financial stewardship, as you give to the Lord, it is a vital act of worship. Now, how do I get that? Where do I see that here? Well, in verse 1, he says, now, what I want you to do, and he's talking about the collection now, about this collection, I'm going to tell you to do the same thing I've been telling the Galatian churches. So he said, I've been telling the churches all over, this is the way we're going to handle this. And so he says, here it is in verse 2. He says, on the first day of every week. Now, what's the first day of every week? Sunday. Thank you. Now, why does he mention Sunday? Well, he mentions Sunday because, remember, the Lord Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday, right? And so Sunday was resurrection day. And so what happened was this body of believers, they met every Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. They met for worship. Now, that wasn't the only time they met. They met during the week, probably in homes, because we do know, and he's going to talk a little bit later here in the 16th chapter of He says, greet the church that meets over in Phoebe's house. In other words, there's house churches going on. There's people meeting for Bible study and discipleship and all these things. But on the first day of the week, he says, when you come together, and why are you coming together? Well, you come together to worship. And so he says, on the first day of the week, as you come together for worship, there's going to be a collection. And so their giving was actually part of their worship, and it happened on the first day of the week, Sunday. And by the way, let me just pause at this point and say, you know, to our Seventh-day Adventist friends and our Messianic Jewish friends who insist that the Sabbath has not been changed, and they're absolutely right. The Sabbath has not been changed. The Sabbath is still Saturday. But what happened is Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday, and they say, well, we were never told not to worship on the Sabbath day. That's true. You can worship any day. But he said, we're going to gather together on the first day of the week, and that's when we're going to worship. So for those who think that the New Testament does not teach Sunday worship, just read the Scripture. And all I'm doing is just telling you what the Bible says, okay? So on the first day of the week, as they came to worship, he says you're going to take a collection. Now, I want you to notice, he says, who are supposed to be the givers. We'll look down at verse 2 again. So he says, on the first day of every week, each one of you. Okay, now do you see that phrase, each one of you? The Greek word that is translated there, each one of you, literally means each one of you. It's kind of interesting how that works out. And by the way, I went to seminary. I'm a professional. I know all these things, all right? So each one of you means each one of you. It means nobody is excluded. And so he said, what's going to happen is you're going to meet together for worship on Sunday. And when you do, each one of you are going to, you're going to lay your offerings. You're going to be tithing. You're going to be making offerings. And all. Each one of you, no one is excluded. Now, some folks say, well, Brother Greg, I'm not going to give any money, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give my talents and my time. No, no, no. Each one of you, he says, are going to participate in the collection. And some say, well, Brother Greg, I give my money to other things. I give to the Salvation Army, and I give to, these ministries on TV and all these. No, no, no. Each one of you, he says, on every Sunday morning as you gather together for worship, you're going to participate as an act of worship in the collection that is being taken. Now, some folks say, but wait just a minute, Brother Greg. You know, I don't tithe or I don't give because I really don't have enough money to. And so I know that God understands this. And so he hasn't blessed me with a whole lot, so I don't have much, so I got to keep it all to myself. No, I'm sorry, but he says each one of you. He doesn't qualify it in any way and say, well, if you don't have enough money, you don't have much at all, then you don't have to participate in this. No, he says on the first day of the week, as you gather together for worship, each one of you is going to lay aside. In fact, by the way, beloved, if you have anything, then you've got something to give. Can I just remind you of something? I preached from Mark chapter 12 not too long ago, and I know that y'all remember that sermon very well. It was about a widow. And Jesus was in the temple, which was the treasury, and I'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. And all the people, there's a big trumpet, there's a big metal container there, and all the people were coming by, and they were putting their offerings in and everything. Man, it was making a lot of noise. People were applauding, hey, praise God, and all this. And then a little old black-clad woman, bent and stooped, probably came in, and she dropped in two little mites. And each one of those mites was worth less than a half a cent. She basically put one penny's worth of goods in that thing. And Jesus said, you know what? She's put more in there than anybody else. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say, oh, she shouldn't have put that in. She should have kept it for herself. No. He honored her. He commended her. He said, in fact, she gave it all. Now, what was the percentage that she gave? Do you know, she didn't give 10%, did she? She didn't give 30% or 50%. She gave 100%. And Jesus didn't say, well, she didn't have enough to give. No, he said, this is going to be a memorial. I mean, people are going to honor her because she gave it all. Beloved, there's a principle in Scripture. And let me just talk to us for just a second. If you're sitting here thinking, well, I can't really afford to tithe because I don't make enough money, okay? I can't really give regularly to the Lord. Can I just share something with you? And this is in Luke chapter 16. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, then who will give you property of your own? Now I want you to understand what Jesus is saying there. He's saying that if you're faithful in a few things, then God is going to be able to entrust you with more. And then you're going to show yourself, you're going to be able to demonstrate yourself faithful in much things. You know the reason that some of us just can't ever seem to get ahead? We just can't ever seem to break out of this. We just can't make it out. Do you know why? Because we've demonstrated that we're not trustworthy with the little bit that God has given us. And if we're not trustworthy with that, then God says, I can't give you any more. In fact, unfaithfulness on our part. And by the way, the issue in our giving is not the amount. It's not the amount. In fact, the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians, he said, each one of you should set aside money in keeping with your income. Now, what he's talking about there is the tithe. And he's not saying a particular amount. He's not even at this point even talking about a percentage. He's just saying, can you be found faithful what you do have? And if you just have a little bit, if you're faithful in that, then what's going to happen is God is going to be able to entrust you with more. Beloved, let me just say this very, very clearly. What happens with many of us is we shut up the windows of heaven so that God can't bless us because we say, God, what I have is mine and I'm going to keep it to myself. And God says, okay, if you're not going to be faithful with that, I'm not going to give you any more. That's Bible principle, beloved. That's what the Bible, and all I'm doing is telling you what the Bible says. So if you get upset with God because that's what he says, all right? And this is what happens. And what happens is as we are faithful to God, then God is able to bless us. God is able to open the windows of heaven. And so if you're unfaithful, when you have a little, being rich ain't going to make you faithful. In fact, often it's the opposite way. In fact, there are some people who can't tithe or give, not because they make too little, because they make too much. And in fact, I had a guy come to me one time, and this was not in this church, a church I was pastor of. And he was very successful in business. And he had been very faithful to the Lord. And this particular year, he had just, man, it had just gone out the roof, you know. And so he came to me. I'd preached on tithing. And he came to me and he said, Brother Greg, I just want you to understand something. I'm not able to tithe this year. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, because we made so much. His tithe that year would have been well over $100,000. And it was just too much. He wasn't able to give that much, you know. And he wanted me to understand. He was very serious about this, and because I'd preached on this, and he loved the Lord, and he wanted me to understand. He wanted God to understand. And I promised him, I said, Brother, I understand completely, and I know that God understands completely. I said, I tell you what, I love you, and I love the Lord. And you know, I'm praying for you, and I'd like to pray for you right now. And he says, okay, brother, please. I appreciate the fact you understand. I said, I understand. God understands. Let's just pray right now. So we just knelt down there, and I said, Father, thank you for this brother. Thank you for blessing this brother the way he has. And God, you know that this year you've given him so much that he's not able to tithe. And so, God, I just ask you in the name of Jesus that this next year, take it away from him. I mean, just cut it down. Get it down to the place until he can be faithful with what you've given to him. And when I finished praying, I said, amen. And tears run down his face. He said, Brother Greg, please don't pray for me anymore. Please just don't pray for me anymore. But see, that's the way it is. You see, it's each one of you. He doesn't exclude anybody. Doesn't matter how little you got. Doesn't matter how much you got. He says on the first day of the week that as regularly as you come to worship, as God has blessed you, each one of you set aside the gift. Now where should that gift go? Because, you know, I mentioned a minute ago, there are some people that say, well, I give to this ministry or that ministry. I give to this thing or that thing. But I want you to understand what the Bible teaches about this. The Bible teaches storehouse giving. It says that our tithes and offerings belong in the church. In fact, it's right here in this passage of Scripture. And you say, well, where exactly is it in that passage of Scripture? Well, look down at verse 2. So he says, on the first day of the week, okay, that's our worship, Sunday. Each one of you, that's everybody, should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. Now, what that almost sounds like is that God is saying, well, what you need to do is every Sunday at home, you need to take whatever amount as God has blessed you, and you set it aside over there and collect it there and then get it ready, okay? But that really is not what he's saying at all, because I want you to notice it down there in the last part of that verse, he says, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. In other words, you're already going to have made the collection. In fact, what he's teaching here is storehouse giving. Look down at that. You see where it says, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up. You see that word saving it up? It's the Greek word, listen, thasaritzo. We get our word thesaurus from that word. Now, do you know what a thesaurus is? It's a book that's got words in it, right? A thesaurus is literally a treasury of words, because that's what that word thasaritzo means. In other words, what Paul is saying here is each one of you on the first day of the week, as you gather for worship, you set aside in the treasury the money that God has blessed you with. Now, what's the treasury that he's talking about there? Well, if you go back and you look in the Old Testament, they didn't have banks, right? So in that culture, they didn't have a First National Bank and a Lone Star Bank or a Texas Dow Credit Union or anything like that. So where did people keep their money? It might interest you to know that where they took their money was to the temple. The temple. In fact, we saw that in Mark 12. Because there's the treasury there, and the people are coming by, and they're putting their money in. In fact, they had safety deposit boxes and things like that. People brought, and they stored their money in the treasury. And you know why they did that? They did that because they believed that nobody was going to rob from the temple, because you'd be robbing from God. And so that was the safest place in the world, because if God was going to protect your money anywhere, certainly he'd protect it in the temple. And so the temple became the treasury. And the people brought their money and they stored it up there in the treasury. Now listen to what Paul is saying here. He's saying that on the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside in the treasury the offering that God has blessed you to give. So he says, so that when I come, there's not going to have to be any collection. In fact, you see this throughout the New Testament. Go back to Acts chapter 4. And what happened there in Acts 4, the church is just getting started, and the people come, and they bring their offerings, and they bring them to the disciples or to the apostles, and they lay them there at the apostles' feet. That is, they brought it to the spiritual leadership of the church, and they entrusted their tithes and offerings with the spiritual leadership of the church. So, beloved, what this means is that each week as you come to worship, you come and your offering is part of that worship. That is, you come with something in your hand. And I say that because, you know what, if you study the Bible very carefully, you're going to find out that every time, in the Old Testament, for example, when people came to worship, they had an offering in their hand. They had something to offer God. Now, there were a number of different offerings in the Old Testament. For example, there was a sin offering. And it was a blood sacrifice, a burnt offering. The entire sacrifice was consumed to atone for their sin. They also gave a guilt offering, because even though they were atoned for, they also sinned as they went along, and they needed forgiveness. And then there was also a fellowship offering, in which they offered this offering to demonstrate that they belonged to God, and they worked with God, and then that they also belonged to the body or the family of faith. Beloved, I want you to think about this. As we worship together, we are bringing offerings. Right? Now, not just money. By the way, did you know a sin offering has already been made for you? Did you know that? You know, the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross as a sin offering for you and me. In fact, excuse me, it is impossible for you to come to God unless you have the blood of Jesus, the sin offering made for you. You can't come to him apart from that sin offering. But you know, there's also guilt offerings, because we sin and we're guilty. And the Bible says that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. There's also fellowship offering. You know, part of our financial giving, our financial stewardship, not only blesses the body, blesses the Lord. In fact, as we give financially, what we're doing is we're saying, I belong. I belong to this body. And by the way, I want to say this with love, because I don't mean to be ugly or anything like that, and I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything, but let me just be perfectly honest with you. If you don't participate financially in the ministry of the church, you're a freeloader. That's right. What you're saying is, I don't really belong. What's happening is you're coming and saying, give, give. I take, but I'm not going to give anything back. Do you know what? Our giving allows us to participate. We're saying, I belong to the body. But not only that, we're saying, I belong to Christ. I belong to God. Because everything that you have ultimately comes from God. If you have a job and you have the ability and the health to get up and go to work, and you've got the mentality to do that, God has done that in your life. That comes from Him. And as you give back to Him through your tithes and offerings, you're just acknowledging that He's the owner and you're the loaner, and you're saying, listen, I belong to God. That's what our tithes and offerings do. I belong. I belong to God. I belong to this church. Now let me just pause right here and make sure that you understand something. It's not your money that God really is interested in. That's the demonstration, or that's the show. And I don't want you to hear me standing up here beating anybody over the head about money, because you know what? If you never gave anything, or you gave every penny that you have, that really is not the issue. So what is the issue? Well, Paul told us that back in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is what he said. He said, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what the Bible means right there by that? It means that what God is really looking for is you. I mean, he doesn't just want your 10%. He wants all of you. And you know what? If He's got all of you, then your pocketbook is not going to be a problem. In fact, you're not going to be holding on to everything so hard, because you know where it all comes from anyway. And if God, who loves you and promised He'll never leave you or forsake you, and when you're in the hands of God now, He's responsible for you, then everything you have is just, here we go, God. And you know, you can't outgive God. I think of that brother Letourneau, who, you know, many of us, we give 10% and we live off the 90, and that brother learned to live off the 10, and he gave 90% back to God. And somebody asked him one time, how do you do that? And he said, well, I shovel it out, and God shovels it in, and God's got a bigger shovel. And that really is the deal. You know, God, you can't outgive God, and you can't give more than God. I mean, and you never will even be able to come close. So what happens is you're saying, God, I belong to you. I trust you. Here's my life. Here's my tithes. Here's my offering. And you see how that becomes a precious act of worship. Do you see that? And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He says, as you give to the Lord on the first day of every week, it's a part of your worship. Now, at this point, let me just add here that I don't necessarily mean that if you put something in the plate, then you've worshiped. Because it's ultimately the heart is the issue. So you put your $5 in, I've paid God, I've done my thing. No, that's not what it's all about. The heart. In fact, Jesus said, you know, they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. What the principle here is a principle of faithfulness. Am I going to be faithful with my life, with my stewardship, with the things that God has given me? And so as I come to worship, I demonstrate my faithfulness through my tithes and my offerings. But basically, I'm saying, listen, I belong to God, and I belong to this church, I belong to this body, and I am them. So giving is an act of worship. It's part of our worship, okay? That's the first thing that we really need to understand here, and here's the second. The second is the issue of accountability, and I really struggled with how in the world I was going to put this down, but I finally came up with this. Church leaders are accountable to the people for the church finances, or there should be accountability in the church finances. And so you as a people have the right to hold your leadership accountable for the way that the money is spent. Let me just show you that here in the text. So the Apostle Paul is talking to the Christians here about their weekly systematic stewardship. He says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay up in store, lay by in store, as God has prospered you, as God has blessed you. And he's taking up a special offering. So you got both those things. You got the systematic, regular giving, and you've got the special offering thing. And he says, so you're going to do that. And by the way, that's exactly what we do here at First Baptist Church. We encourage and we ask the people of God to be faithful weekly and monthly as God prospers you to give of your tithes and offerings. And then we also take a special offering like we're doing today for missions. And so this mission offering is going to go to our international missions, to our North American missions, our state missions, our local missions here. We're on mission with God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, okay? And so we're doing exactly what the Bible says, or exactly the way that they happen here. But Paul doesn't just say, okay, give your money and then don't worry about what happens to it. That's not what he says at all. In fact, if you look down at verse 3, he says, and then when I arrive, so they've already taken up the collection, and they're going to have this special offering. And he says, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve. Now watch this. He said, you're going to approve some men, and they're going to be the ones that take the offering itself. Now, why is he doing that? Why does he want them to approve some individuals to watch over this? It's accountability. And so nobody's ever going to have any question, well, what'd Paul do with that money? We took all that money up and we gave it to him. As far as we know, he went to Hawaii with it or something, you know, took a vacation or he did something else with it. Where in the world did all that money go? No, Paul says, we're not going to have any question. You're going to have some individuals in the church that you trust, that you know that you can trust. You're going to set them aside. I'm going to give them letters of introduction, and they're going to be the ones that take it because we have open books in this church. If you want to know how the money is spent, all you got to do is ask. It's going to be accounted for. Every penny is going to be accounted for. Beloved, that's exactly how we operate here at First Baptist Church. We have completely and totally open books. If you ever have a question about how any money is spent or how it's used, how any of your tithes or offerings go, all you have to do is ask me, or you can come and ask our finance committee. Because, beloved, what we have done in this church is we've set aside a group of people. I mentioned them a moment ago, this finance committee. It's led by Brother Joe Odom, who is our finance committee chairman. And Ms. Karen Black is our financial secretary, and she's a part of that. And also Terry Heyman, and our treasurer is Michael Fine. And what we've done as a church is, and we believe these folks have been faithful, and they've demonstrated it for us. And so what we've done is we've put them together on this team, and they're the ones that oversee the receiving, the accountability, and the spending of the money. Now, beloved, as your pastor, I am ultimately accountable. And I promise you, for me personally, as long as I'm pastor of this church, we are never going to misspend any money. I mean, God willing, and I understand that, you know, even to say that, because I fail and we all fail. But I want you to know this is something I take very, very seriously, because that's not my money. That's God's money. And we give it to Him. We are going to be completely, totally open and honest. It's the reason we do a budget, and you determine how that money is to be spent. That's what voting on that budget was all about. And the books are wide open, and I'm accountable. But let me just tell you that taking care of finances is not necessarily my spiritual gift. Now, it's some people have that spiritual gift. For me, my spiritual gift is preaching and teaching the Word of God. And God has put this on my heart. And this way, I understand that as the pastor, I have a responsibility in a financial sense for this church. But what we've done as a church is we've called people aside who do have that spiritual gift, and we put them together to make them accountable over this. And any question you ever have, you just ask it, and it'll be answered for you. Now we see this very same thing in the Bible. In fact, let me just remind you, in Acts chapter 6, the apostles were taking care of the money there in Jerusalem church, and they didn't have time. They said, man, we're trying to minister the Word of God, and we got to take care of all these financial things. And so they got up before the church, and they said this: hey, folks, this is what we want you to do. We want you to set aside some men who can take care of these financial matters. And I want you to notice what they looked for. They didn't say, set aside men who've got a finance degree or are good in accounting or all that stuff. No. They said, what we want you to look for are folks who are full of wisdom, faith, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we're looking for is spiritual wisdom. We're looking for faith. We're looking for the power of God in these folks' lives. And you know what? If we can entrust anybody with our money, we ought to be able to trust somebody that is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what we do here at this church. And what I'm saying to you is that we are accountable to you. Your spiritual leaders, which I'm a part of, are accountable to you. And every penny is accounted for, and it's true with every aspect. It's true with our mission offering. In fact, we're taking up this offering, and we're going to send 50% of it, whatever we receive, we're going to send 50% of it to our International Mission Board. It's going to support over 5,000 missionaries all over this world. We're going to send 25% of this offering to our North American Mission Board, and that's going to support church planting right here in the United States. We're going to send 15% of it to our state mission board, and we're going to support church planting and church planters right here in Texas. We're going to keep 10% of it in our Brazoria Mission Fund so that we can fund mission activity that you're doing right here in Brazoria. In other words, it's our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now you might say, well, Brother Greg, we're going to send all that money off to the International Mission Board, North American Mission Board, or to the state or whatever, and we don't know what they do with that money. That's not true. Because do you know that we're part of this thing called the Southern Baptist Convention, and all this is part of the cooperative program. And they have a budget each year just like we do. We can see that budget. If we have any question, we can call them up. We're actually part of the decision-making process in setting that budget. And so they have accountability to us for every penny. Let me just tell you something. That every dollar, every penny that you give to missions here at First Baptist Church, every cent of it goes to support missionaries or to share the gospel across the world. None of it is used for anything else. In fact, this is a lot better record than, let's say that you decide you're going to support some other ministry, you know, like some TV preacher. And I remember my grandmother, she used to support Oral Roberts, and it kind of drove me crazy, honestly, but she loved that brother's preaching and everything, and he would ask for money all the time, and she would send money there. And I just noted for her one time, I called her Nan. I said, you know, Nan, do you know how that money is spent? She said, well, no, I'm not sure. And I said, you know what? If you called them up and asked them for accounting, they wouldn't be able to give it to you. But I said, Nan, just let me tell you something. That a big chunk of the money that you give to those type of ministries, they use to get more people to give more money. In fact, sometimes some of those ministries from 20 to 50%, and I'm not saying that any of those things are bad or any of those ministries are bad, or if you want to support them, don't support them. Please don't hear me say that. I want you to understand something. Much of the money that you give to these other ministries that aren't accountable to anybody, they use much of the money just to raise more money because they've got to send out fundraising letters and all that kind of stuff. They don't have the opportunity to stand before you like this and preach, all right? And so they've got to use their money to make more money. Every penny that you give to this church goes for ministry as it is designated by you in the budget or as it is designated by those budgets of those missions entities. We are accountable and should be. Every ministry should be accountable for every penny that is given to them. Now, beloved, that's what God says about the collection. Okay? And let me just say it again. If you just happen in here and you think, well, all that preacher is doing is talking about money. All he ever does is talk about money. It's not true. You're not going to hear me. Next week, we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. In January, we're going to talk about the church and what it means to be a church member and what a blessing the body of Christ is and all of that. And I want you to understand something, that in preaching a sermon like this, it's not my intention to get up here to beg or cajole or beat over the head or say that you need to give or you need to do that. I understand that our financial stewardship is a very private and precious thing. In fact, that's what Paul says here. He says, on the first day of the week, each one of you should lay up in store or set aside a sum of money in keeping working with his income. That is, he says, really, it's between you and God. And listen, I wouldn't in any way try to be the Holy Spirit in your life or tell you what you should or shouldn't give, okay? That's something that you need to regularly be going before the Lord, okay? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible says. It is an act of worship. And quite honestly, you say, Brother Greg, can I truly worship? Can I still worship even if I don't give financially? And honestly, I don't see how that's possible. It's what the Bible says. Each one of you on the first day of the week, as you've been blessed. So it's just not possible. Should we be accountable? Absolutely. And we are going to be accountable. So, beloved, that's what God has to say about the collection. What we're going to do now is we're going to respond to God's word. God, help us today. Father, I pray that you would help us to receive what you have taught us and what you want to teach us. And God, that we might with joy be cheerful givers. Lord, not holding anything back from you, not even our lives. But God, today you've shown us in your word what it means to be part of the body and what it means to participate in worship with you, with our finances. God, help us to be found faithful. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in this invitation time, we're going to do two things. And so don't be jumping up and running out here, okay? Because you're not going to want to miss the second thing. But the first thing is this. We're just going to respond to God's word.